Text for today's message comes from our Old Testament lesson, which we'll read in its entirety in a few minutes. But Isaiah 56, verse 1, "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be revealed." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you've been around the Lutheran Church for a while, you know that we like to distinguish between law and gospel. The first part of this passage, "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness." Is that law or gospel? Anybody want to venture a guess? Pardon? Law. Yeah, that's pure law. It's God giving us a command. You are being ordered to keep justice and do righteousness. So, what does it mean to keep justice? And what does it mean to do righteousness? Really, they're the same thing. Keeping justice and doing righteousness are two ways of saying the same thing. We're being commanded to follow God's law. Because by definition, His laws are righteous and just. Paul tells us in Romans, "So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good." Which then leads me to ask my next couple of questions. So, how's that going for you? How you doing at keeping God's law? That's what we're being commanded to do, so how's it going? I'll tell you how it's going for me. Keeping God's law is always difficult at best. In fact, I go so far as to say that it's absolutely impossible for us to keep any of God's laws completely and in their entirety, or even partially. In fact, we're not capable of keeping God's laws at all. I'll be so bold to say as there isn't one person in this room who's kept even one of the Ten Commandments that God's given us completely during the course of his or her lifetime. So as I pondered this, because this includes me too, I am one of the people in the room, I wondered, why even bother trying? What's the point? We can't do it anyway, so what the heck? Let's just forget about it and not even try. But after contemplating that for about a second, I had to wonder, well, what is it that God wants me to do? I go back to our text for today. "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be revealed." God wants us to try. He wants us to know His law. He wants us to pursue fulfilling the law. Why? Well, I'll tell you my best guess. This and $5 will get you a small coffee at Starbucks. But my best guess is that this is what distinguishes us from the rest of the world. One thing I am absolutely certain of, though, is that God knows better than any of us here that we can't possibly keep His law. He knew this from the beginning because He knew He'd have to send Jesus for our rescue. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. And there's a promise attached to that command. "For soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be revealed." Anybody want to venture a guess at what that is? The answer is always Jesus. Jesus, gospel, yep. Isaiah prophesied this prophecy hundreds of years before Christ was born, right? Well, Christ came and went. He's back in heaven, reigning with the Father, and He sent His Holy Spirit to guide us. So this prophecy is already come and gone, right? Well, sort of. Because there's a great big but there. But Jesus is coming back. He's waiting for the right time, and he will come again. Not as a baby born of a woman in a manger, to a humble couple in some far-off part of the world and placed in an animal stall. No, that's not how he's coming back. He's coming back in glory. He will appear through the clouds with trumpets sounding, and everyone will see his return. He will welcome those who have maintained the faith in him. That is what we have to look forward to. That's going to be an incredible event. I'm looking forward to it with all my heart. Whether I'm on this side of eternity or the other, doesn't matter to me. It will be God's fulfillment of his righteousness and his salvation. When we will see him face to face and be ushered into eternity with him. So, we should then strive to keep the law so that we can prove that we're deserving of his love and worthy of him welcoming us to himself, right? I see Linda nodding her head. I think that means, yeah, right. Not hardly. There's nothing you can do to earn his love or to earn your place in heaven. Ephesians 2 tells us, "For grace you have been saved by faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." It's God's grace that saves you. It's his gift to you. It has nothing to do with you or what you do or what you don't do, because he loves you. He wants you with him. We serve such a loving God. You know, in ancient times, the ancient Israelites, they really berated the non-Israelites, the Gentiles. They insulted them, they looked down on them because they didn't have the assurance that the Jews did. Because they believed that they were the only ones who were the descendants of Abraham. But those ancient Jews didn't see what was right in front of their face. We know from Paul and all the New Testament that even as Gentiles, we're welcome into God's kingdom. But that's not a New or New Testament teaching. Even in the ancient writings of the Hebrew Scriptures, this was true. Verse 6 of our passage makes that very clear. "And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain." Essentially, God has defined descendants of Abraham as those who have faith. It doesn't matter if you're a biological descendant of Abraham or not. Do you have faith? Is your trust in Jesus for eternity? I pray that it is. Because our salvation, your salvation, has nothing to do with your line of descent. Doesn't matter if you're descended from royalty or the poorest of the poor. Your skin color, eye color, body shape, age, and any other factor that you can think of. All those things that the world seems to put so much importance on hasn't got any relevance whatsoever. It's all about God. And his grace through Jesus Christ, accomplished through the work of the Holy Spirit, in us, in you. Have you ever really evaluated yourself and your behavior? Have you ever really looked at yourself through the lens of the Ten Commandments? If you've ever looked at yourself from that perspective, you see how undeserving you really are. Like I said a few minutes ago, I don't think there's anyone in this room, me included, who's kept even one of the Ten Commandments for his entire life or her entire life. When you look at the commandments, you really don't even need to look past the first one. First one says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God before me. We can't even keep that one. And when we violate one, we've violated them all. That's all it takes. And we deserve eternal condemnation. And the funny thing is, the first commandment is basically the same as the text for today. Keep justice and do righteousness. That is nothing more than keeping God first and serving His people as Christ served them. We know we can't do it perfectly. But with God's help, and only with God's help, we can put forth the effort and show the world what Christ looks like. That's part of our role, to reflect Christ to a world that so desperately, desperately needs Him. Yes, the reflection that we show is not the same as Christ Himself. A reflection is a two-dimensional view of something that's three-dimensional. But it's that reflection that shows Christ's love for His people. God's rescue plan for His people was developed before we were even created. God knew what would happen. And He knew what would have to take place in order for us to be saved. And He knew exactly what He was getting into when He created us. And yet, He did it anyway. Does that make any sense to you at all? Sure doesn't to me. But that's the love of God. Sorry, you ever have a sneeze that just started and never finished? But that's the love of God for you. When you realize the amount of love and patience God has for you, you see how much God loves you and how much He wants you as a part of His family. 1 Timothy tells us that this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God and our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He desires your salvation. He desires the salvation of all. That's why we keep justice. Excuse me. That's why we keep justice and do righteousness. Eventually, the final fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy will take place, and there will be no more opportunities to share God's love with anyone. Are you sharing His message with others? Being able to share Jesus with those who are willing to listen is our good pleasure. To be able to share the love of God with those in our lives is a privilege. We share it with our children, our family, our neighbors, anyone who's interested and willing to listen. Yeah, sometimes you'll get rejected. It's even possible you might lose a friend or two. We can't control others' reactions. If you can't share, and please understand, I mean share. I don't mean browbeat. I don't mean assault. I don't mean lecture or judge. But if you can't share what makes you happy and gives you peace and makes your life better, without fear of losing someone, my solution to that is just pray for them. I won't live in fear. I am who I am. I just want to see hell depopulated and heaven full. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Amen.